Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome into episode 221 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. Sources Say podcast is presented by our good friends at Justice Dental. You can make an appointment at one of two locations. That's on Wellington Way and Blazer Parkway. Now is a great time to schedule your dental cleaning. Remember that regular dental appointments are important for your overall health. You can learn more and make an appointment at justicedental.com. Dr. Justice and Dr. Thompson look forward to seeing you soon. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined once again by Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you?
I'm fantastic. I guess the better question is, how are you? You've been all over the place for the last week.
I have, and I still haven't even gotten home yet. As you can see, I am currently in O'Hare International Airport, where I told you guys before we went live that I was going to look around this place for a quiet setup. That doesn't exist in international airports, apparently. I will, we're going to do this a little bit differently. We can see the setup right in the middle of everything. So sound issues may be a thing. You may not be able to hear me. Connection may go out. I may need Sean to hang in there and take over at some point. The internet is awful in here, so I'm relying on my LTE to save the day. But Sean, all things considered, I'm having a great day.
Yeah, and that's all that matters. One stop to home, right? And hopefully back to some winning basketball tomorrow. But we've got a lot to talk about before we get into that.
Yeah, unfortunately, my trip out west was successful in every other facet. It was beautiful scenery. Spokane was gorgeous. Went out to the rainforest out, to, I think the HOH rainforest, something. I don't even know what it's called. Then the beach on the Pacific coast, and went to a couple different things, the Olympic National Forest. Unbelievable, just really, really beautiful place. And drove from there to, so we stayed at Port Angeles, drove all the way over to Seattle, did a whale watching tour the day before the game, and then drove from Seattle over to Spokane for, unfortunately, a really awful, awful performance that we are going to dive into. Sean, really, no major positive takeaways from it. I just didn't think the energy was there. I thought the focus wasn't there. They did not come out looking to make a statement in a game that I think could have been a pretty impressive statement performance on their part. What did you think of just, the energy that they brought out and how they, it was just really frustrating how they weren't able to live up to the moment when it clearly felt like Gonzaga was from the opening tip.
Well, I will say that I think the only thing probably about your 2 to 3 hour experience in that building was probably your media seat, because it was a solid one. I could see on TV the entire time. But just talking about the lack of energy in a game coming off the loss to Michigan State, and I know they had the win versus South Carolina State kind of sandwiched in between these two games. I just thought the magnitude of this game, the buildup of it from August till now, the fans begging for better out-of-conference matchups for Kentucky. They go on the road to a neutral site there in Spokane to play Gonzaga, and I just didn't think that the team looked up to par with what they needed to be in a matchup of that level this early in the season. I don't think there's any excuse for it. I don't want to hear the Oscar Tshiebwe doesn't know the plays, or Oscar Tshiebwe's not been able to practice. Like, Oscar's been in this program 2 years and half a year before that. And if anyone knows what they're doing, it's Oscar. And I just don't see any excuse, and I'm not going to buy any excuse. Kentucky wasn't good enough in all areas. And there's no excuse for that. When you're talking about this program and this team being a national championship caliber team, they have not delivered to this point.
And I think that's the most frustrating part, is the event was built for that moment. I mean, the crowd was unbelievable. There were fans camped out the night before, starting at 10 p.m. And then I got there early the next morning. They said that they got there. If they weren't there at 10 p.m., they were there at 7 a.m. It was frigid cold, like Sean, like 13, 14 degrees outside. They were ready for that moment. The crowd was unbelievable. Packed from literally the bottom floor. I don't know if you could see from my media seat, the student section was literally touching my back. They kept hitting the back of my head with their stupid pom-poms and the towel that they were using. So that part got frustrating, but it was an unbelievable atmosphere. The chants were incredible. They did everything on their end. The team, obviously Gonzaga, the team did everything that they were supposed to do. It just wasn't, Kentucky just didn't live up to their end, and it just really frustrating that how can you go in against the number two team in the country, that type of environment, that setting, and not live up to that expectation, not be ready, to match the physicality, not be able to match the heart. You're down 12-1 on the glass to start the game, things like that. Like that's all effort. That's 100% effort. And Oscar Tshiebwe was the only guy that, really showed up for the most part outside of Cason Wallace. It's the heart that really concerns me moving forward.
Yeah, it concerned me. And I tweeted at halftime that my fear going into the season was that they would overuse Oscar and all of it would kind of rely on him. And for the first half, and he wasn't great by any means, but when you look up at halftime and his numbers, you're like, oh my goodness, if they didn't have Oscar Tshiebwe on the floor, they're probably down 25 to 30 at the half. And it feels the lack of spacing, the lack of attention to detail on the defensive end, the no energy, a half of guys that just could not create their own shot. There were a lot of concerns and a lot of things that I'm looking at that I'm kind of trying to step back and say, okay, don't hit the panic button now. But Kentucky had two out of conference dates against Michigan State and Gonzaga, and they really didn't look good in either one of those. Like two opportunities just slipped down the drain. Number one, seeds matter. We know that. And there's still plenty of basketball to play, but when you're talking, and we'll get into that as we go down the rundown, but I'm concerned about where Kentucky is. I mean, they let two opportunities slip them by. I thought that they should have at least gotten one of those, but losing both and then losing in the fashion that they did Sunday night, I think is probably the most disappointing thing, because you thought that this team, with all the experience they have coming back, Cousy Award finalist at point guard, a reigning National Player of the Year, CJ Frederick, Antonio Reeves shooting the basketball, Jacob Toppin's development improvement. You thought that they would be better than what they were, especially Sunday night. And the second half was better, but the lack of energy at the start, you can't do that against elite teams.
And what did you make of what Jacob Toppin had to say after the game? He obviously made headlines for what he talked about, saying that there were guys on this team that just weren't up for the challenge. You'd never want to hear that, already this early in the season against this type of competition. Players kind of, he put some of it on himself and said, I'm part of the problem, and all of us is an issue with all of us. But for him this early, the second big game of the season, for him to already be saying that there are guys that aren't up for the challenge on this team, and almost pointing fingers, I feel like that's not a good tone to set to open the year.
It's not. And it's one of those things where, who exactly is he talking about? And he did include himself, in that quote. But, who isn't up to par? Who wasn't up for the challenge this early in the year? I mean, we know that Oscar. We know that Savir's played plenty of college basketball. Antonio Reeves has played plenty of college basketball. Like, they have guys. Like, I guess the part that concerns me is you can't hide behind freshman. Because this isn't a team that's just – stacked with freshmen. We know Cason Wallace has been great to this point. He's done a lot of good, but this is a team that has plenty of experience, plenty of returning experience at Kentucky, along with veteran experience from the portal. I just don't think there was any excuse for Kentucky to ran off the floor on the road in Gonzaga. I thought that this team would put up a fight, especially coming off the loss to Michigan State. I thought they'd be re-energized, and that was a long week. You go to Indy, you come back home, you immediately prepare for a home game, and then boom, you're right back out the door on a flight across the country. I know that that's a lot, but this is a veteran team that should have been better than what they were Sunday night.
Yeah, and to their credit, Cal brought it up and said, part of the reason why the energy wasn't there is because they just weren't making shots, and that's I think the name of the game with what we saw. Kentucky finishes 6 for 25 overall from three, 27 for 69 overall. They just couldn't buy a basket to start the game. and but, that obviously let a lot of the wind out of their sails. But I don't
but
see that
you
as
can't
an excuse.
Do that. You can't do that, yeah. Right? Like every coach is going to tell his team what. You can't let offense travel to the defensive end of the floor, and I thought that they did in the first half. I thought Gonzaga was quicker to every loose ball. I thought they were quicker to every rebound. I thought they were quicker in transition. I thought that their attention to detail on the offensive and defensive end was just significantly better than Kentucky. I thought Kentucky got their tails kicked for 20 minutes in every single area of the game. Oscar looked tired. A lot of guys looked out of shape. And I just thought that that was concerning to me. Like, it wasn't a good half. Kentucky did make its run in the second half, but then ultimately the hole that they dug in the first was just too steep to climb out of. And I mean, it kind of, you're at a situation now where you have to look yourself in the mirror and be like, okay, where do we go from here? Like, there's not that marquee game on the schedule right now immediately that you can kind of get that shot in the arm and feel good about yourself again. Those are still a couple of weeks away, but Kentucky wasted an entire week of basketball. That's how I see it. And I don't think there's any other way to put it. You were there for champions. It was a frustrating way. I think if Oscar doesn't foul out, they probably win that game. So that's frustrating. But then again, this can't be a team to me that just goes all in on Oscar Tshiebwe having to be that dominant force every single moment he's on the floor. If it is, this team's not going to a Final Four. And right now, that does concern me, because I do feel like it's easy when you have a player of that caliber to kind of put it all on him. The offensive flow, the spacing, the lack of, the no rhythm, it's concerning to me, because I thought that this team would be built different, especially with shooters like Frederick and Reeves and things like that. But to me, their offense looks just as stagnant as it did against St. Peter's just 7 or 8 months ago.
Well, and did you notice that – I can't remember, it was the second game, but right before the Michigan State game, I believe Duquesne, where Cal was asked after the game, you know, about – that was right after Antonio Reeves and C.J. Frederick got so hot shooting the ball and – you know, said, is this going to be something that we see even when Oscar comes back? And he goes, no, because he's going to make up a lot of those touches. Then after the Michigan State game, Xavier Wheeler was asked at the podium about, you know, the possibility, like, hey, do you understand that you don't have to just rely solely on Oscar Tshiebwe? You know, do you feel like you have to put everything on his shoulders? And he kind of got a little snippy about it with I think Kyle Tucker was the reporter that asked. He got a little, you know, snippy saying, well, he's a National Player of the Year. You know, we're supposed to rely on him. And I thought that mindset kind of told the story of this team right now, that they think that everything can go in with Oscar and everything else will fix itself. We've now seen that both of those comments were true, that the offense with C.J. Frederick and Antonio Reeves are not the same as it was when Oscar was still in or when Oscar was out. And you know, obviously, Xavier thought the same thing.
Well, realistically, I thought that this was a team that where – you would get a better version of Oscar Tshiebwe, a more complete version of Oscar Tshiebwe, but numbers would dip. And I was actually hoping the numbers would dip just a little bit, because then I thought it meant that they would kind of be more well-rounded around him on this roster with some other guys that can do some things and take some pressure off. But right now, this is a team that if they don't have Oscar Tshiebwe on the floor, I don't think they're good enough to beat any good basketball teams. I really don't. Like, that's how I feel about them if he's not on the floor. We saw it down the stretch against Michigan State. Now, that's the case for anyone that has a National Player of the Year. But I just don't – I didn't see enough against good quality basketball teams this week to give me confidence that Kentucky can beat good teams right now. Now, will that change? Absolutely. I think it'll change. I mean, we've seen this before last year for sure, where they struggle early and then they get it going in late December. We know this team's going to improve and it's going to have its moments. But the thing that stood out to me is – this is a team that, as veteran heavy as it is, they still don't know how they want to play. And even though Oscar is that heavy presence, they still don't know who they want to play through. That's what I saw, is who's the guy that goes and gets a bucket when you need it? Where do you go? Is it the guards? Is it running some stagger screens? Is it running some things for a guy like C.J. Frederick to get loose or free? Is it Antonio Reeves? Just, I thought guys just didn't look comfortable. And honestly, I thought Kentucky had good looks at the basket in the first half, and guys were just so sped up that they looked a step too quick, if that makes sense. Like, they just didn't look in rhythm and in sync at all.
Well, and it's a sad
Okay, I think we're losing Jack there, so hopefully we get him back up here. If you want, let's start running some questions. If you have some questions until Jack gets back up here, and then we'll move through and talk about the Oscar Tshiebwe and Drew Timmy matchup. But the thing that just stood out to me about this game, and I'll answer questions as they pop up, is I was excited to see Kentucky and Gonzaga this early in the season go at it. And I just don't think that Kentucky fans, or even myself included, I think we were all kind of disappointed at how I don't feel like at any point in that game, even when Kentucky was making its run the second half, I was like, Kentucky's not going to be good enough to win this game on this night. I do think the one thing that I would take away as a positive is I did see some fight in the second half from this team. And now Jack's back up here. But have I got you back, Jack?
So I think I got a phone call in the middle of it. So I think that's what ruined it. It wasn't even the crappy signal that time.
I was jumping straight into questions. I was like, let's talk about it. I said, because I wanted your thoughts on the Oscar Drew Timmy matchup. But I did say this when you kind of went away there for a moment, that I do think that I saw some fight in the second half. I thought that they tried to fight back, but it was just too steep. Like you dug too steep of a hole to get out of. And I do think that was a positive takeaway for a moment there, as Kentucky did have a run in it in itself, but it wasn't. You just cannot do that against teams of that caliber.
And I think a big part of that is Cason Wallace. That's a guy that I learned a lot from. This week in particular against Michigan State and Gonzaga, I think he's a guy that you can lean on. He's going to take a lot of that pressure off of you defensively. He's going to, you know, make some highlight plays. I thought the one that he dove for, that loose ball in the middle of that run where he kind of ripped it from Nolan Hickman and it led to a transition bucket the other way. I think those type of plays are game-changing plays, and that's what Cason Wallace is capable of. And, Sean, it leads to the question, for me at least, you know, how much do you just kind of, you know, throw everything out? You know, Cal saying the offense doesn't look right now, the plays, they can't run plays correctly, all that. How much of that can you just say, you know what, we know that Oscar is a guarantee and we know that Cason Wallace is starting to become a guarantee on this team. Yeah. How much do you just say, screw it, we need to throw out the game plan that we have right now and see if Cason is the guy, at least when things go south like they did against Michigan State and Gonzaga?
I think you got to scrap the offensive game plan. To this point, you've got to do something different. Like this isn't the way Kentucky runs offense. It's not going to be good enough to beat the elite teams in college basketball. It's not. And it's all centered around Oscar Tshiebwe winning a lot of one-on-ones, especially on the offensive glass and things like that. And you got to run some stuff for these shooters. I want to see CJ Frederick actually getting some screens and trying to get him looks. And what that does, Jack, is when you got a shooter of that caliber running off, you know, stagger screens and, you know, some floppy action on the baseline, if Kentucky gets into that stuff, like at least you're making it to a point to where you're having defenses be put in a situation to where they have to communicate, have to talk. Maybe you get some switches, you get some breakdowns, some slips, some post opportunities, some stuff like that. I just think that they need to be running some things for those guys to get them loose. And maybe you don't get the three-point shot out of it, but you get something else out of looking to get and create shots. Like, I think Kentucky's offense is kind of built a lot on guards getting downhill and beating people off the bounce. And right now, I think these guys are struggling to do that, struggling to create their own. And Kentucky needs some guys to separate themselves and have a guy with the ball in their hands that can go get a basket, create one for someone else. I do think that is turning into Cason Wallace. I think that he's going to be – by the time we get to mid to late December, I think that Cason's going to be the guy in the backcourt. I really do. I think that's going to be the guy we're all talking about on the offensive end, on the defensive end. But this is a team that I think scrap whatever you tried offensively for the last week and you move on to someone else. This is a coach in John Calipari that said that this team needs to be scoring 80-plus points a game. You're not going to do it playing at the pace Kentucky plays at in the half court. And I thought that there were a lot of possessions, especially in the first half the other night. Kentucky runs its false motion just to get into a middle ball screen with 12 seconds to go on the shot clock and the ball never crossed inside the three-point line. That's not good basketball by any means.
And I do want to ask you, as we kind of transition a little bit into the matchup between Oscar and Drew Timmy, Cal kind of called out Oscar a little bit, said that he doesn't have the plays down, that he's, you know, a little behind in that regard because he's been out and that things are kind of wacky whenever he's on the floor, and said that he had to go away from him in the dribble drive and kind of run the dribble drive around him. What was your take on, you know, Cal kind of calling out Oscar, really the only consistent on this team right now, who's, you know, is going to put up star numbers, calling him out and kind of saying that everything worked better in that second half when, you know, they didn't run things for Oscar.
What new plays are we talking about? I guess that's my question. You know, like what's significantly different about what Kentucky does right now than what has been there since Oscar's been on campus? Like, I don't know. And maybe it was more of a, not the plays itself, but maybe the timing of some things. Maybe that is what he's talking about, or just kind of being in sync and in rhythm with some guys on the floor. But look, Oscar was the reason that they had a shot to win, to me, at any point. And I mean, when you put up the numbers
in both of the last two games,
in both of the last two games, you win the game against Michigan State, I think, if Oscar's on the floor down the stretch, I really do. But there's some things like the defense, and we've not even got to talk about, I haven't got to talk about the Michigan State loss, but the defensive breakdown there on the out of bounds situation, like Kentucky always helps off with the on ball defender and you get beat with a slip to the rim. The one area you're trying to protect and guard. Like, I think that's stuff that, regardless of who's been in practice and who hasn't been in practice, that doesn't happen and it shouldn't happen. Like, there were just mistakes down the stretch of that close game that a veteran team doesn't make. And then I thought that Sunday night there were just, it didn't matter if Kentucky had executed a lot of things perfectly. They didn't have the energy to win that game Sunday.
And I also thought that, you know, on the flip side, Drew Timmy, as, you know, I think he's brilliant. I think he really showed the value that he brings to the table as, you know, if he's not the best player in college basketball, because Oscar is that guy, he clearly proved that, you know, he was the second best. I thought he was just brilliant. I thought Gonzaga ran a lot of stuff that, you know, that taking advantage of the miscues that Kentucky had and the lack of effort. You know, you saw Drew Timmy, you know, grab rebounds at 6'10", 240 pounds or whatever he is, you know, 6'9", whatever he is, you know, grab rebounds and go full court, you know, run point forward almost and look to capitalize on those mismatches and things like that. I mean, I thought between those two, the numbers were almost identical between Oscar and Drew Timmy, but I really didn't think it was close. I thought Drew got the upper hand in that matchup, and I thought the entire, you know, the score was what it was. I mean, so it's hard to nitpick individual, you know, positional breakdowns of who was better than who. Gonzaga was better at every position, but man, I just thought when Drew Timmy, you know, was on the floor and executing the way that he does, I thought that was basketball to perfection. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, and Kentucky was trying its best early to run some double teams, get the ball out of his hands. I know one of them came from Chris Livingston at one point, but, I mean, Timmy's really good. Like, he's really efficient in all areas offensively, and I thought he set the tone. And he's a guy, he celebrates after every single play, after every single basket, which can be frustrating to watch, I guess. But, hey, he lived up to it. And that was what was the most disappointing thing, is I was wanting a close game down the stretch with the reigning National Player of the Year and another guy who could be a National Player of the Year this year, and Drew Timmy going at it with two teams that look like Final Four contenders. And I mean, look, Gonzaga got their tails kicked last week too. And they answered the bell in a building that was full of a lot of juice. Kentucky did not answer the bell. And that's concerning. I think that's the concerning part about it, is Kentucky didn't respond the way Gonzaga responded to their loss. Now, I know, like I said, Kentucky had a win in between, but the win against South Carolina State didn't make you feel any better about Tuesday night's loss in the Champions Classic, did it? Like, you didn't leave, or whoever, I know you weren't there, but I'm sure when you went to bed Thursday night after they beat South Carolina State, it didn't make you feel any better about how Tuesday night played out.
It literally didn't make me think anything. It didn't make me feel anything. It was the most
to me. It was just apathetic. That, oh, we have a game here to talk about in the middle of these other two games. That's all I thought of it.
And I guess what I should ask now, going just a little bit back to the shooting struggles with Antonio Reeves and CJ Frederick, that's clearly something that Cal was relying on. You know, both of those guys stepping up and being the shooting and scoring threats that they are. Now, back to back performances where they have not been able to live up to that billing. Are you concerned that they're going to be kind of stat stuffers against the South Carolina States of the world, or will they be able to step up?
Well, I think a lot of it too is the games where they've played well are games that there wasn't a ton of pressure on them to kind of have to get into what they want to do. Against good teams, there's not been easy offense for Kentucky. Michigan State wasn't easy to score. Gonzaga wasn't easy to score. And I think that puts a ton of stress, and those guys have to knock down shots. That's where I'm coming from. Maybe you set some stuff up and you get into your offense sooner and you look to go to those guys and play through some action to get them and run some. I mean, you got to hit some guys, right? Like, you've got to set some screens to get CJ Frederick looks. If not, you've got to depend on Xavier Wheeler and Cason Wallace to be able to beat their man and make somebody help and kick out to these shooters. But this is a team that I still think is going to be very good. They're going to be fine. But right now, I just don't have confidence in them beating anyone that's good until they get some of these things figured out. And that's just being honest and to the point. But they need CJ Frederick. They need Antonio Reeves. They need those two guys making shots. They need at least one of them making shots in a game. If both of those guys are not shooting the ball well, it could be a very long night for Kentucky. And we've seen that.
And I guess that's my concern is this week was, you know, you of all people on this show are the first one to talk about quad one wins, talking about tournament resume and how important those games are. You know, you had back-to-back opportunities to build a really strong resume with that Louisville regional with so many, you know, so many reasons why you want to be a one seed in this tournament especially, and to have these two opportunities and not get either of them. And then you look at the future schedule, North Florida tomorrow, Bellarmine a week from then, and then Michigan in London, which, you know, they're fine, but that's not going to be, I think, at the end of the season, going to be a resume building win that, you know, it's going to be a game changer on Selection Sunday. Then Yale, then UCLA is playing better, but they just had an ugly loss against Illinois. It just felt like that was a prime opportunity to rack up those quality wins and you really make a statement early about who they are and their identity. And I think they blew it.
To get at least one of them, I thought that was the goal for the week, was to win one. I mean, we know that was going to be a tall task to go out there and win that game in that environment. But I was confident that they would get the one on a neutral floor in Indy against Michigan State. I really did. And to lose both those opportunities, and yeah, I'm the guy that's all about quad ones. And we know when those first net rankings come out here in a few weeks, we're going to look back and break it all down. And both of those will be quad one losses. But you got to have some quad one wins to show for as well. And it's like, this is a team, you mentioned the London trip here coming up and stuff. It's a team that's going to travel everywhere, but what's it going to have to show for? It's been all the way out west. It's about to go to London. It's going to go to New York City in mid-January and then jump into SEC play. We know the Louisville game is not going to be a good win. Like that one's probably going to be on the lower end of the quad when it comes to resume building.
That South Carolina State game, which they had one of the worst KenPom rankings in all of college basketball, that might end up being a better win than what Louisville's going to be. So they had 13 points at halftime today.
And it is a missed opportunity. It's missed opportunities that when it comes down to Selection Sunday, it separates you from being a four seed or a three seed and a four seed or a two seed and a one seed. And seeding matters. I don't care. Like, I think seeding matters. I mean, more importantly, how you're playing in March matters. But at the same time, you don't want to be put into a matchup that's not favorable for you just based off of maybe you let one or two slip away early in the season. And I just thought if this had been a team that wasn't kind of chock full of veterans, I probably wouldn't be as negative right now as what I'm being. But this is a team that returned the reigning national player of the year. Yes, he is coming off a minor procedure, but looked incredible, I thought, at times against Michigan State. I mean, right as soon as he checked in, he's right on the offensive glass. He's a double-double machine, a double-double Sunday. I don't think that Kentucky's issues are all about Oscar Tshiebwe, but I think some of Kentucky's issues may be they don't know how to play right now. And I'm afraid that having Oscar, you look at a guy like that and say, okay, he'll bail us out at times. You cannot look at Oscar Tshiebwe as the bailout guy. If you do, Kentucky's going to lose in the first week in the NCAA tournament again. That's what I'm afraid of. You've got to develop something else and have an identity about yourself offensively that's not just him winning the offensive glass or using his energy and effort to get you garbage buckets. You've got to find another way or someone else to play through, but still play through him as well. And the other thing about him that's kind of been off to me, late in the game against Michigan State, he had some pretty bad decisions in possessions, a questionable shot that I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't the Oscar that I saw at times last year. Is that rhythm from coming back from the procedure? I don't know. Like, that didn't affect his decision-making is all I'm trying to say. And I thought he took a really bad shot in a critical moment in that game. But I mean, it's easy to kind of hammer some things, but then again, you got to come back and say that if they didn't have him Sunday, they're probably getting beat by 30. So, and this team will be fine, Jack. I do think that it will be a good basketball team. I do think that when it comes down to it, I think they'll be a top team in college basketball, but they took a hard fall in the poll for a good reason. They didn't show up this week. They dropped 11 spots and there's nothing to really make them climb for a couple of weeks. So where's this team when we look up here in mid-December? Hopefully it's not somewhere between 22 and 23 in the AP poll. Hopefully it's a team that's hovering around the top 10 with some opportunities to kind of climb their way back up, because we do know that seeding matters in the NCAA tournament.
As I try to unmute my thing to minimize the outside noise. But yeah, I think this team has way too much talent, way too many pieces of guys that I trust. I trust CJ Frederick and Antonio Reeves to hit the big shot. I know that their cold streak is not going to last together forever. I mean, mm-hmm. They're too talented and have way too much equity built up with where they came from, you know, what they've done and just the spots they've been in the past. You know, I trust that to win out at the end of the day and that talent to win out. So, you know, I think it could be as simple as them just making, I mean, they drew up that beautiful play to CJ Frederick in the left corner. He airballed it. What does that do for your confidence the rest of the game? How does that make you adjust and you know, try to overcompensate or undercompensate, you know, however as a shooter you adjust? He's not going to go 1-for-9 forever. And I don't think Antonio Reeves is going to go 4-for-13 forever. So I think that could be a simple fix as well. And I do think that Cason Wallace kind of taking things over the way he did, I think that's an easy fix as well.
And talking about CJ, and I know we're seeing here mentioning that he shot an air ball and stuff off an open look, but I still feel like you run stuff to get him looks.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Even if he's not the result of what comes from the play that you're running, it just, when you have a shooter like that that you can run off some stuff, it puts defenses in a bind having to defend it. They stretch themselves out. Maybe you have a miscommunication. It's much better than what Kentucky does, just dribbling and dribbling and dribbling, and then there's 12 seconds on the shot clock, and they spread the floor and go into a high ball screen. Like, that has been, to me, that was a lot of Kentucky's offense. I think that this is a team that at its best, and I think this is what happened in the second half. They got down. They had to pick up the pace. They had to play quicker, and I think that's why they played better. This is a team that needs to run and run and run. And then in return, that gets these shooters open looks, because Oscar Tshiebwe is going to be running to the rim as hard as he can, and these two guards are going to be able to get downhill and get in the paint. This doesn't need to be a team. And we know that John Calipari is going to want to grind out wins, but grind them out when you have to grind them out. Grinding it out in the first half and slowing the pace, run the floor. Run, 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 run. I think that's the thing that I want to see be different moving forward, is I think the pace of play. And I think that's why they had a better second half. You couldn't just sit and walk it. You couldn't just run 20 seconds off the shot clock to get into what you wanted. You had to play with some speed. And Kentucky looked better. The decisions, they were making natural decisions. They weren't overthinking things. You had guys taking shots. Play fast. Play fast, stay fast. That's my thing with this team.
And this is coming from a guy at Cal who his go-to is go. Like, I mean, that's his main coaching spiel is go, 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 go. So it's kind of interesting how we're even in this position where we have to talk about, you know, slugging things out and the rock fights and things like that. This team's just not built to be a rock fight team. I mean, you have guys, you have shooters, you have pace setters, you have pace setters and Cyber Wheeler and Cason Wallace. You have shooters on the outside on both wings. You have Jacob Toppin, who, you know, he is who he is. And I think I agree with some of the national takes about it being fool's gold and what he did with his long twos and, you know, just kind of the confidence he built up. You need to get him going, but I don't think that's how you get him going. And then you obviously have Oscar. This is a team that is a run and gun type of team. We saw it early, you know, even when Oscar was out, this team was a run and gun team and, you know, put up 111 points and things like that. That's what this team needs to be. And it's confusing why he's reverting back as soon as Oscar comes in into, you know, making this a rock fight team.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that stands out to me too, when we're talking, if Oscar is behind on some things with plays and whatever they're running with sets or timings off, like, then why not just do the thing that you just do? You just run. Like, why are we trying to set and do this stuff? Just play with pace and get out and, you know, turn teams over, be more engaged defensively, create some turnovers, get out and run. in transition and just play with a pace. And I think that if they do that, I think they'll have a lot more success, especially offensively. I think the shot attempts per game will go up, points per game will go up. And in Kentucky, when it comes down to it late in games, you need to grind things out in situations, then grind it out. But start by playing fast. And yeah, like Cal says, you know, the energy and stuff there with not hitting shots, but as a coach, you got to communicate that message to your team, especially a veteran team, that if you're missing shots, you still got to defend. If you're missing shots, you still got to rebound. And we know that the rebounding numbers were off because, one, Gonzaga wasn't missing and Kentucky wasn't hitting. So there were plenty of rebounding opportunities for Gonzaga and, you know, not many for Kentucky. So it was the perfect storm early. I thought that that was the one thing that going into that game, I was like, if Gonzaga punches first, Kentucky's going to have to punch probably two or three times to climb all the way back. And Kentucky had one punch. And it just – and Gonzaga had another punch in them. And that's an elite team in its environment that it's in, that it's comfortable with. And that's just how it played out. It's a November basketball game that had a lot of significance when it comes to resume building, but it doesn't define your season. Neither one of these two losses do. There's plenty of opportunities in the SEC, and it's still on the schedule to get back to where you want to go. But they better be more prepared the next time they have a game with Michigan or a game with UCLA on a neutral floor or Kansas coming to Rupp Arena in January, the SEC slate. You can't have weeks like this, and especially with veteran clubs. Like if it is lack of practice time, they've got a couple of weeks here. You want to see them get some wins. But when they come up against Michigan there in early December, you want to see a team that's ready to play.
I think it's now put pressure on Kentucky to go undefeated in December. You know, you obviously the rest of November, North Florida, North Florida and Bellarmine are obviously must wins. But I think the entire month of December, Michigan, Yale, UCLA, Florida, A&M, Missouri, Louisville, I think you got to get all five of those, six of those. So they put the pressure on themselves now, and it's unfortunate because you would like to kind of create a little cushion and, you know, be able to go out to, you know, Michigan, you know, go out to London and lose that game or, you know, slip up again, you know, start SEC play or whatever, you know, that UCLA game in New York, that's where Kentucky has struggled a lot. And that CBS Sports Classic, right around the holidays, we've seen Kentucky throw clunkers in the past. Well, now they can't. Now they, you know, they've already thrown their two clunkers early on. And now it, you know, the margin for error is unbelievably small, and you kind of have to get to January where you get, you know, LSU and Alabama and those schools. That's where you can start slipping up again, because I think it has to be a perfect slate all the way through the new year.
Yeah, you've got to – your resume is from November to March for a reason. Like, you weight these games the same, whether it's played on November 1st or it's played on March 1st. You do. Like if this game had been played in March, it still has the same meaning as it did in November to me. Like, I mean, there's no changing it, right? It's a quad one. A quad one's a quad one. But Kentucky has some work to do. It has plenty of schedule in front of it. But you don't want to be a team that gets into SEC play trying to build a resume in your conference. You don't. Because the grind of SEC play is what it is. You're going to lose some games. You're going to win some games. You want to have something that resembles a resume out of conference. And last year it was winning some games there in late December, getting the road win at Kansas. You want to see that again, win some games, get the home win against Kansas in January, be ready for that one. And then win some of these other games in December, get a win against UCLA on a neutral site, get a win against Michigan on a neutral floor, and then take care of business in your league. And this is a team that could look up and have double digit quad one wins and still be in contention for a one seed. But you just can't waste opportunities when they are before you. And Kentucky really wasted two this week. If they'd left this week 1-1, I think I'd feel significantly different. If they had just been even, I guess, more competitive Sunday night, I would have walked away feeling a lot better. But that was a team that looked like they didn't belong for most of that game. And I thought that was concerning. Or I guess a team that wasn't prepared. Not that they didn't have the talent to belong. It just they weren't prepared to be in that environment to play. And I think that's concerning, because this is a team with the veterans that they have, should have been – the energy should have been at the highest level it had been all season.
And I guess now we are where we are, and the schedule is what it is, but you have North Florida coming up tomorrow in Bellarmine. How do you get the bad taste out of your mouth going into those two games? How do you look at this schedule and you know, figure out a way to kind of make up for what this last week? You're not going to make up for it, but to kind of get those good vibes back with the program and make you know, get the warm, fuzzy feeling we were feeling a month ago back to the fan base.
You play well from start to end. You don't struggle. I think that's the thing that I'm looking for tomorrow is don't come out and this be a game that's a 2 or 3 possession game at the half or late in the first half. You come out, you hit shots, you have high energy, and you leave no doubt. And you have guys that look better. You have guys that play better. Your defense is better. Your rebounding is better. Like, I just think it's a collective effort tomorrow and then Bellarmine next week. You want to see 2 wins where you don't – it's not a slugfest or it's not where you struggle for 15 to 20 minutes. You want to see crisp basketball because by the time they get to early December, they better be playing. They better be playing good basketball because they've got some resume building to do. So I think that's what I'm looking for tomorrow is to come out start to finish – play with a lot of energy and have no letdowns for 40 minutes. And there goes Jack again. I think this one might be a connection issue. So North Florida tomorrow, Bellarmine next week, North Florida tomorrow at 4 p.m. You see that on the screen now. Kentucky back at Rupp Arena for an out-of-conference game, and I think Jack's trying to join again. Having some connection issues now. You got us, Jack?
Am I here?
Yes, you are. Can you hear me? Jack just needs to get back to Kentucky.
I just need to get it back to Kentucky. Let's wrap up. We talked about this awful game enough. Let's get back to Kentucky and let's get the signal back where it needs to be. Sean, where can fans find your work?
You can find my work at GoBigBlueCountry.com and you can follow me on Twitter at GBBCountry. And Jack is out again. I don't know exactly what Jack says word for word, but you can follow him on Twitter at JackPilgrimKSR. You can reach him at email, and I don't even know his email address. So I think he said it a million times, so surely you can go back in another episode. But we'll be back next time with another jam-packed episode of Sources Say. We will see you then.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.